Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Today is June 24th, 2008. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I was having a little trouble getting in the switchboard. It is Joanne, and I am here. I see my buddy Tony is here. Tony, you there?
Yes, I am, Joanne. Good evening, and good evening, everybody on the Block Talk Radio Network. What's going on?
Hey, hey. I had a little trouble getting in.
Yeah, I heard. There's a lot of dead air up in there.
Yeah.
I thought we were being invaded by Mars.
Well, you know, I kept calling, and it kept telling me the number that I'm dialing was incorrect, and then when I was putting my PIN number in, they were telling me my PIN number was wrong. So I said, maybe it's the phone, so I hung up that phone, and I went and tried another phone, and whatever.
And you know with internet radio, nothing gets right. Right.
Yeah, I know. This is so true. But anyway, I'm in. So how was your weekend?
Oh, it was okay.
Yeah. Nothing big.
No, I'm not in big. Just the usual typical weekend in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do have a little catching up to do as far as the Emmys go.
Yes, we do.
The Emmys.
You know, I sum up in three words about last Friday night: history making night.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of history was made on that night, especially in many categories. We had a couple of first time. We had a first time winner who won ever. We had a first time winner since '92 when Chris Lofton John won for Best Supporting Actor.
We've had a
record tied that night. Jennifer Lannan, who won for Younger Actress for her third straight year, and she tied a record with Jennifer Finnegan back in 2002 to 2004, where she's on Bold and the Beautiful. And here's the ironic part. And here's the ironic part about that, Joanne. When Jennifer Finnegan got her final award in 2004, she had left Bold and the Beautiful that spring.
Right.
Okay. Jennifer Lanet has just left her role on As the World Turns just this past spring, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of ironic. So that's kind of ironic.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, as far as the awards go, I'm an ABC girl, but I was a little disappointed that General Hospital won for Best Drama. I would have rather seen One Life to Live.
Yeah, me too. I'm disappointed just as you, Joanne, because I thought One Life to Live was going to win. Because,
yeah, they were phenomenal this year, and I really thought they should have won. But the thing is with GH, it by giving them that award makes it seem like everything is okay. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that need to change on General Hospital. And I think that, and I think a lot of people believe that if they never won that award, then it would have been a force to be reckoned with, and they would have had to say, okay, look, we got to change something. But because they did win, I think they're just going to kind of sit back and, whatever. You know what I mean? And I think that was, like, the downside of them winning.
Absolutely.
But,
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely agree on that, Joanne. General Hospital, all year long has been a soap that always, is basically with the mob, going on with the mob stuff around here. And obviously, ABC loves ABC or Brian Franz, the guy who runs the doggone network, the NBC Daytime.
Right.
They think mob stuff is a thing. It's an end thing. Come on. I mean, please.
Right.
Why do you want to choose a show like that over something like One Life to Live, who addressed it not only Aces Buchanan's death, but the only problem I had with that, with the clip they sent it not only Aces Buchanan's death, but they sent in the Prom Night musical. Which I think was okay, but that's not an Emmy winning thing. I mean,
right,
they could have been a little better, you know?
Yeah. I'm flustered because some of it just gets me so angry. I can't even speak half the time. I think that One Life to Live... See, General Hospital, if you look at the description of General Hospital, of the show, from way back in the beginning, it says that the show is about General Hospital and the people who work there and their families.
Right.
It's not a direct quote, but that's something to what it is. Now, it is so far from that description right now. You know, it always had that little bit of mob essence to it.
That's true. That's
but
true.
But not to the like extent this. Where it's a little mini Sopranos show. And that's what it is now.
Yeah.
It's more about the mob than the hospital.
Right. And I recall my mom used to watch just watching General Hospital. Been a long time watching. She recalls back in the days, they did a mob action and, of course, the Tass and Dines back then, they had adventure. But you had adventure along with that.
Right, along with
the mob. But now these days, it's just mainly mob action. Mob and their families.
Yeah. Let me just just printed off some stuff out of one of the groups from Sage's News and Gossip and Spoilers. And this is what she has to say. Evidently, the message boards on the net lit up like a Christmas tree, blasting Jill Farren Phelps for her rather arrogant, this was expected speech when GH won the Daytime Emmy for Best Drama. I wonder if it was supposed to be funny considering that the only other nomination for GH was the traditional Tony Geary nod, or if she actually knew how it would sound and didn't care. Who's to bless and who's to blame? Now, she did have an arrogant speech. She flat out said, this was expected. And I don't understand how. So now then Sage goes on to say, although it didn't come from the most reputable source I've ever heard, there are rumors going around saying that when Tristan Rogers returns to General Hospital night shift, the whole flu estrangement from Robin Deadbeat Dad's story never happened. Well, I mean, Tristan Rogers admitted that to everybody, that that's what was going to happen on the red carpet. But it goes on to say, he will play out a story through the season, but be killed off at the end.
What?
I'm pretty surprised that they're bringing him back.
Just
at
to
all,
kill him off the show. What the hell?
Well, not even that. But she's saying, and now I've never heard this, but she is saying through a source, they're bringing him back since he's been trashing General Hospital to anyone who will listen. So
really?
I don't know. Well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, Tristan Rogers has every right to trash GH because they brought him back, and they just, like, kicked him out within, you know, how long did it take for him to get lost with that Emma Sam story? You know what I mean? It was like, oh, Tristan's back, and then all of a sudden, oh, Tristan's gone. So then...
It's like Kim Schreiner, you know, because you haven't seen him on screen until today's episode, of course. And,
oh, see, I didn't see today's. I heard it. Yeah, I knew he was coming back for a couple shows. But that's probably only because Logan is getting killed off.
Yes.
You know, so he's going to have to come back sometime because of that. So,
But in getting back to the Tristan Rogers stuff you were saying.
Yeah, that's supposed to be for night shift. And I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Then she goes on to say... Carly.
Okay.
Carly, what are they doing to Carly? I mean, seriously? They're making her, I mean, evidently Jax confronts her about the pregnancy. I didn't see the episode if it happened yet, but Jax confronts her about the pregnancy, or Sunny confronts her and says, you know, instead of just saying, no, it's my husband's, she says
it could be Jason's.
Yeah. What? Like, where the hell would she pull Jason into it?
Hello? I mean, Jason's always had any women near her. I mean, come on. They never have sex. They're friends. They're good friends. They've been best friends. How could they be pregnant? I mean, how could a woman here be pregnant? Come on. It has to be two possible people. It's got to be Sonny or Jax. It can't be. No way in hell could be Jason.
No, of course it's not Jason.
No way in hell.
But the point is like, why would you even throw Jason in the mix? I mean, you know what I mean? If Sunny has a question about the, you know, if you are pregnant, who the father is of the baby, you are married to Jax. Just say it's Jax's. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to throw Jason in. That whole thing really just
burns you up.
They're making Carly into this little whore type woman who, you know, and then I also, let me see here. I was reading also that Kate is going to find out about the limo sex supposedly on the night that her and Sunny are supposed to be married. So they're not really even sure if a wedding is going to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, GH is kind of flowing down the tubes a little bit.
A little flake, if they say.
Yeah. Well, let's get to a better one here. Let's do One Life to Live. Because One Life to Live has been, like I said, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I have to give big props to Bree Williamson.
Oh, no question. No question. Because of all the, playing the grieving widow, losing her husband and how to deal and been dealing with it, how her emotions been dealing with it. And I'm telling you, it's gonna compliment later this week with return of Tess.
Yeah, that's going to be really good.
And it's been in the previews, and it's been in the previews all week. It's in the previews today.
Tess
is coming back. And I'm telling you, she's coming back, and she's not coming back not to play. She's coming back for revenge.
She's coming back with a vengeance. Oh, yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
And
she's not going to be the same Tess where it was before. There's like chain-smoking party girl, punching people out. Yes. No. It's going to be a calmer, a cooler, and a more sinister Tess, more like a Mitch Lawrence type.
Because Mr. Florence is her real father, isn't he?
Yes, he's Jessica's biological father. So definitely the test side of her is going to have the Mitch Lawrence side of her, I'll bet you.
How much do you want to bet? I'm really happy that they're bringing Tess back, and I'm really, really happy that Dorian has become the bad lady of Landview again. I'm glad that, you know, she's like, I mean, I love Dorian's character because you just want to love to hate her.
Right.
You know, and
Robin Strasser is notorious, is wonderful when she plays the villainess, because we know we can love to hate Dorian every time she does something heinous, like what she did to the Buchanans by stealing their business, or what she did to try to break up Adrian and Lex, which eventually she did.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that.
Right.
That's the Dorian of old, you know, especially with the 40th anniversary show right around the corner next month. That's why they did it, so to get Dorian back where she used to be. So give us a little bit of history, you know, where Dorian is the ultra bitch, the ultra villainous.
Right. Well, you know what? That's good, and you know, I really don't pay too much attention to the writers and stuff. I never have until I started talking with Jen and Soap over in the Zone,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so they kind of like have been steering me towards more educating me on the writers, and that's Ron Carlovati, who is the writer, and he is phenomenal. I think he is fantastic.
Yes,
he has really put One Life to Live back on the map. We have someone, Tony, in the chat room who is saying, what's up with the writers? What do you think about Star and Cole's story? Star and Cole's story, I think, is very pertinent to the youth, and it really gives an accurate description of feelings from both sides. She's torn. She wants to be a kid. He is torn. He wants to have the baby for a piece of his mother, but in essence, it's showing everyone what happens when you go out there and you play around and don't use a glove. And if you don't use a glove, well, then you know what? This is exactly what happens.
What you're going to get is exactly what's going to happen.
And this is it. And the situations they are going through right now are situations that a typical 16-year-old and 17-year-old would go through. When I was in high school, I mean, and we're talking a little over 20-something years ago, my best friend was 16 years old and pregnant.
Okay.
And I was just floored. I couldn't even fathom having a baby at 16 years old. And I threw her a baby shower with my mom's help. And let me tell you something, that girl, she had to give up. So I don't want to say give up, sacrifice so much for that, for her daughter, you know, and then the dad left her. He was all for it in the beginning, but then he chose not to have nothing to do with it. So there's so many twists and turns that a role can take. I mean, they're embellishing a little bit with these two because it is a soap, but in all reality, it's very well written and it's very accurate.
Yes, it is.
So.
Yes, it is. And you got to give props to Ron Calabelli and their writing team for writing a very compelling story about the teen pregnancy storyline with Star and Cole. And you also got to give credit also to the two actors, Kristen Alderson and Brandon Buddy, for making that story work.
Yes, we do. And you know what? Brandon Buddy will be with us on July 8th. So we'll be able to talk to him about that when he calls in on July 8th. I finally got a date for him.
Well, that's good.
So that'll be really good. And you know what? I have a 15-year-old son. So, yeah, this is stuff that, you know, you got to, like, teach them and talk to them about. And you know, now that he's home from school, I make him watch it, you know. And, you know, just so you see. I mean, and you know what? Not for nothing, NBC tomorrow night. And this is something really good also for teens to watch. NBC tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, there's a show going to be on called Baby Borrowers. And it's all about centered around these teenage couples who think they're fabulous and they're in love and they want to be mommies and daddies. Well, they let these children be mommies and daddies over the course of a few weeks or something like that from every stage of life, from beginning all the way up to senior citizens having to take care of old people. And in the advertisement, if you go to NBC.com, it says it's not a reality show, it's birth control or something like that. Because if you watch this and you're a teenager, you're going to think twice before you go have an unprotected sex and want to pop out babies. Oh, yeah. We got a comment in the chat room who's saying they remember when Cole and Star slept together, fans were accusing the writers of going too far. Well, you know what? Why? I mean, in real life, I know a lot of 16-year-olds who lost their virginity at 13. And you know what? I don't think they went too far. It's a dose of reality. That's why people think they're going too far, because it's a dose of reality.
Yeah,
and
no.
Truth scares people.
Right.
So that's why. But on the other hand, also, let me just interrupt for a second. We have Maggie on the phone.
Okay.
She must have heard Brandon Buddies coming on.
Yes, I think she did. go pick up.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Good. Say hi to Tony.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
How you doing, Maggie? I'm doing good. How about you?
Okay. I'm reading the Doing Dog.
You getting all excited now? Brandon Buddy's coming on.
Yes.
I finally heard last night, so let's hope that they stick with this date.
July 8th. July
8th.
That'll be 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah. It did me on the bone.
Say that again?
Deep me on the bone.
Keep you on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay,
I
honey. We only.
Talk.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
Sarah in the chat room said she saw the previews for the reality show and she thinks it's a great idea. Bootux says neither do I. Oh no, she's referring to. Okay, I see what they're doing. Referring to other statement. Yeah, it is a good. It is a good show. It's good for any teenager to watch, I think. You know, it's definitely a dose of reality.
Yeah, it gives them a chance to learn what really was taking care of a baby or what really taking care of a child really is before they even do it.
Yeah. For those who are on the in the chat room and listening now or who will listen in the archives, as they know, Greg Vaughn did not call in last night.
Yeah, what was up with that, Joanne?
I spoke to his manager this morning, and he was ill, so he kind of slept through it, and I spoke to him this morning, and he was very apologetic, and he's going to get rescheduled, and as soon as I know for what day, I'll let everybody else know. But in the meantime, I don't want anybody to forget tomorrow Eileen Kristen is coming on. I would really love to see a big turnout for her.
Oh, yes. Roxy from One Life to Live. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So everybody, post it on your MySpaces and spread the word. Foxy Roxy's coming to start
in the house tomorrow night.
Oh, yes. And then we're going to have Megan Ward on Thursday, the 26th.
On General
A lot of people are on vacation, so, you know, I'm trying to get a lot more people in, but it's been a little difficult because everybody's on vacation. But January, LaVoy will be on.
A.K.A. Noel.
Yes. And then, wait a minute, Tony, you know who's coming on January 2nd? July 2nd. I keep saying that now that I keep saying January. July 2nd, Catherine Hickland is coming on.
Lindsay from One Life.
Yes.
Yes. Cat's going to be in the house.
Yes. And I have a few of my Sources working on some other people like Mary Beth Evans, Brandon Beamer. These are not ABC people, but you know what? They're just as fine of actors. And
Mary Beth Evans is on Days of Our Lives, playing Kayla on Days of Our Lives again.
Yes.
And Brandon Beamer is on Bold and Beautiful now.
Right. And also, there's a possibility that Leslie Kay will be stopping by and Marie Wilson. So I'm working on a few good people. You know, I'm just waiting for some callbacks. And I'm waiting for a callback also from Jason Thompson.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so
it's Jason.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So I'm just, July is going to be a pretty tight month. There will be no shows the last week of July from the 28th, probably until August. I'm going to say August 5th because I'm moving, so I need some time to, I'll be in transit. I'm moving back to New York.
Really?
So, yes, I am, and I will be driving back, so I'll be on the road, for a couple of days, so I'm not really sure exactly what days yet, so I want to just give myself a little leeway, but if it changes, of course, you know, I'll always let everybody know what the deal is, but... So
good.
I'm trying to get everybody squeezed into the middle of July.
that's good. Well, I know that's great. You know, all the stuff that you're trying to get is only, but the guests you already got lined up is pretty good.
Yeah,
Yes.
Sarah in the chat room is asking if I'm happy about the move. Yeah, I'm very excited about moving back to New York. I was born and raised in New York. And my three brothers and my sister still all live there, and all of my other relatives and my nieces, my nephews. So, yeah, I'm glad about moving back there. I've been in Florida for about 13, 14 years now, and, you know, I'm usually not one to stay in one place for very long, but, you know, circumstances kept me here, and now, you know, the opportunity has presented itself, so I'm taking it. It's going to be further up New York than where I'm originally from. I'm going to be going to move in with my sister. She lives up in Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo.
And, yeah. So, it's further up. I mean, I'm from Yonkers, which is like right on the borderline of the Bronx and Mount Vernon, and it's, you know, a lot further south. But you know what? Only a little car ride away, jump on the Amtrak, and I can get over there. So,
well, yeah, Buffalo, New York, New York, and it's ironic that you mentioned it. It's because that's the hometown of a man who just passed away, the guy who hosts Meets the Press on Sunday.
Tim Russert,
yes. That's his
yes. And you know what? I was such a huge fan of his. It's such a shame what happened to him. But that shows everybody that they really, really need to take care of themselves, because you know what? His doctor came out and said that seriously, if he would have did a stress test that morning, he would have passed. It was just that little bit of cholesterol. Hey, guys, there's only 1 minute remaining on the show, so if you want to keep listening, you got to call in, 347-945-5423. For some reason, I could only get 30 minutes tonight on the schedule.
Good.
So there's only 1 minute of live radio left. So if there's no one on the, if you're not on the phone, you're not going to be able to hear the conversation. So everybody just hang on a second. Let me close out the show properly, but we'll still continue to talk in archives. So, hang on 1 second, Tony. Hang on 1 second. Don't hang up. We're going to exit out with Eden Regal.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.
I just don't want to
Okay, everybody. So it's just us, Tony and Maggie. Nobody else called in. Other people logged out of the chat room. But that's okay. That's okay. So let's see here now. Next. Let's see. All my children. This is going to take a turn because, let me see here. The mystery of Beth Ellers is now going to be resolved. She's going to play a character named Taylor McBride, who's a soldier that served with Frankie in the war and is coming down to give him a medal. So we'll see her on August 5th.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Yeah.
So that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I have the same thing here. I have some night print off the Soap Opera Network site that's mentioning her character that she's going to be playing on All My Children. And did you notice at the daytime she was sitting at one of the All My Children table with Ricky Paul going right next to her?
Say that again.
I said, did you see her at the table at the Emmy? She was sitting right next to Paul Gone.
Yes, I did, and he spoke to her.
Well, like it was a dead giveaway. Okay, we know.
You know what really bothers me about the soaps nowadays is that many people know what's going on. The element of surprise is gone. No, the cliffhanger element is gone. Ron Carlovati brought the cliffhanger back to One Life to Live. General Hospital doesn't have a cliffhanger. All My Children doesn't have a cliffhanger. And you know what? Now, speaking also that Eileen Crichton will be on tomorrow night. I watch her every morning on SoapNet in Ryan's Hope.
Okay.
And Ryan's Hope is a 30-minute soap, so I watch both of them. It airs from 5 a.m. to 6. Well, between the two shows. They do two shows from 5 to 6. And every Friday, I just clamor at the idea that there's a cliffhanger. It's like, oh, my God, I can't wait till Monday to see what happens. Because you have absolute, especially because it's set back in the 70s, you have absolutely no idea what is actually going to happen. Whereas here on Friday, we already know what's going to happen Monday.
Right.
So if we really don't see it, we can watch it on Tuesday or Wednesday and still get caught up. I miss the whole idea of that TV going off on Friday afternoon and me sitting there saying, God, I can't wait to see what happens on Monday. I don't do that anymore. I think it's really bad that they let so many spoilers out into the world.
Yeah, but, well, the reason for that, Joanne, is because Tyus has changed a lot since the
first
came out in the 70s, you know, the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. They didn't have spoilers back then. They just have cliffhangers. But back in then, but now these days, you've got people, Soap Opera Network websites, writing spoilers about what's going to happen, what's coming up in a few weeks, blah, blah, blah. Forget about it, and it just takes all the surprise out. You know what's coming up because you've read the spoiler.
Right. Well, I think they need to take a page out of M. Shyamalan's book. You know who he is? That's the one.
Yeah, I know exactly who it is.
Yeah, he makes them sign agreements of complete confidentiality, like that movie that came out, The Happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg was on either it was Jay Leno or Regis or whatever. I can't remember which one. But basically, he was on there, and he said, I'm here to promote a movie that I don't know what I could tell you because I'm not allowed to talk about it. The only thing I could do is show you this clip, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. So everybody that went out to promote that movie couldn't talk about it.
Right.
It was that confidential. So, you know, they need to stop giving set tours while people are taping. Because General Hospital was doing that for a while. They would allow set tours and let the people who came in to visit watch scenes being taped. They need to bring it back to closed sets, and they need to have everybody keep their mouth shut. And what they want to come out, let that come out. But the whole storyline doesn't have to come out.
Right.
Because then there's, like, no anticipation of what's really happening.
Right, because they have insiders. Okay, they have insiders on some of these ones. They have insiders into the soaps, and they tell whatever insider tells them what's going to be coming up or what's or happening that day or, you know, behind the scenes. Like,
right.
After getting fired or they're replacing a cast member or whatever.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I think it's a waste. I think that, you know, they need to put the element of surprise back in. But let's get into ABC a little bit, because I was really disappointed with ABC and the way they handled the Emmys. Particularly the red carpet. The red carpet was pretty bad.
Yeah, I was soaking that. I was actually soaking that. That handled that. But
yeah, but you know what? It's still owned by ABC. It's the same company. So
Disney. Actually, Disney owns ABC.
Sonny.
Yeah.
Yes, Maggie.
Ruth Wilson Orton and the Emmys.
What'd she say?
I didn't hear what you said, Maggie.
Ruth Star in the Emmys through October.
Oh, Kristen at the Emmys, yes. She looked very beautiful. She did. She looked very cute. It was very age appropriate. She had a really nice dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll tell you another person who looked amazing, Sarah Brown.
She really did. She looked very, very good. Absolutely, she did.
Yeah, she had that little black, had that little off the shoulder, had a little black dress with black and white thing with a little ruffle at the bottom. A little cutty design dress.
Yeah, she looked really good. Kojo, who does Entertainment Tonight's Worst and Best, he voted Susan Lucci Best Dressed, and he voted Tyra Banks Worst.
Oh, Susan Lucci, oh, come on. Susan's always fabulous for the Emmys. Come on now.
Yes, of course. I mean, Susan Lucci looks good in a dish rag, so let's just, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? She could be walking around in a ratted old moo-moo, and nobody would care. She can make anything look good. But as far as ABC goes, tonight, their programming, I guess what I'm trying to get at, my son and I were so excited because they had a couple of new shows that were premiering tonight on ABC, Wipeout.
Game show.
And I survived a Japanese
game
show.
Ugh.
And can I tell you, they were both so awful. I mean, the commercials make it look so funny because they put clips together of the funniest parts, but to actually sit there for an hour was like pulling my face off piece by piece. And the Japanese game show was just that. It was an actual Japanese game show. But this is the thing. They flew these contestants. They flew these contestants to Tokyo. Yeah. To participate in this game show. They want to know where all their money's going. They're wasting it on these stupid shows.
I'm telling you, I didn't even watch those two shows. I'll tell you the truth.
Well,
I did not.
You know, if you saw the commercials.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm saying if you saw the commercials, it did look funny. And my son, he's 7 years old. You know, we would see the commercials, and he would crack up, and he's like, oh, my, I can't wait to watch that. I can't wait to watch that. Yeah, you're right. So let's watch it. So it's on tonight, and I sat there, and I literally wanted to pull my face off because it was that stupid. And I was like, you know what? He was like, okay, now it's time for Japanese game show. I said, you could go watch Japanese game show in your room. So while I was in the computer room preparing for tonight, I put it on, and it was so awful. I couldn't believe that they actually flew, what was it, maybe 12 contestants to Tokyo.
From America, to all the way to Tokyo. They'll be on some Japanese game
stupid
show.
Stupid game show.
Hello?
Yeah.
Does anybody want to watch that crap? No.
No. It's
going
to get canceled. It's very silly. It's very stupid. And now they have on this thing, how they're following around these Amish kids who decided to not become Amish anymore and watching them mess up their lives. Oh my gosh.
That's the outside. That's what ABC News have, that primetime special.
Yeah.
They always have.
Yeah, that's on now. Right.
Whatever it is. Well, you know, kids, but especially Amish kids, is, you know, they help raise in a sheltered life so long in their life, you know, especially growing up in that religion. So they want to go outside, see what the real world is all about. And some of them could adjust to that real world, but some of them could probably not.
Right.
That's why they were following them to see if they could, you know, they can adjust to that real world. And some of them, like, some look like some of them adjust.
That's newsworthy, but the game show and all that, they could get rid of that. I really don't. I really. And then on even NBC, they have Celebrity Family Feud now. They're really trying to pull out. I don't know what the deal is that they can't have people write original programming anymore, that they have to go to all these game shows and these stupid reality shows.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, the reason for that, Joanne, is because those shows were already in place when the writer's strike took place.
Yeah,
and that was going to
be, and that's
what they were going to be shown, regardless if the writer's strike was over or not. They were going to be shown.
Right.
Period.
Right. Well, whatever. I don't like it. So, moving on.
Well,
I guess there's really, you know, I don't know. What were you going to say?
Well, I got a quick go on my children. Note to pass along, you know, from off the scenes, behind the scenes, or actually news to pass on, but pass away, to go away. You know the young actress who plays Amanda Dillon, Chrishell Stuss?
Right.
Well, I just got this off the wire from a super poster of MySpace page that she is going to be hosting a new dating show for the Fuse TV network, music network.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's called You Rock, Let's Roll. She's going to be co-hosting with a contestant from American Idol 6, Jarrett Cotter, who was in American Idol Season 6. And it's going to be a game show. It's basically pairing musicians with their fans. And the audience members will help contestants land the perfect date by bowling for their favorite. Okay?
Hmm.
And Chrishell's going to be co-hosting. So
that's
she's
great.
not the only one gonna be branching out to be a co-host in a game show. You know, Cameron Mason, he's doing these days. He's going to all these co-hosting jams.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, they're saying that Cameron Matheson is going to be pretty much the new Ryan Seacrest. You know, so you know, he's got his hands in every little thing.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, that's how Ryan Seacrest started. And you know what? If you can do it, then do it. You know, whatever. I mean, I think it is what it is. I think he did a great job on the Emmys. I didn't have any issues with his.
Yeah, he and Sherry Shepherd did a marvelous job doing that, posting that show.
Yeah.
It was a laugh a minute
so
with
too.
That guy.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that certain people should be hosts and certain people shouldn't. And Cameron is one of them who should be. You know, I think that Cameron is definitely a good host. He would be a good, you know, who's another one like that? JP Lavoisier. He's a natural
host. Jean-Paul Lavoisier, yes.
Yes, he's a natural host. And let's see, who else would I pick to be in? Well, Kelly Ripa was on Soaps. She's a natural host.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could think of right now. I mean, I really didn't care for Rebecca Budig as a host, hosting the red carpet. I didn't care for Finola Hughes hosting the red carpet. I didn't care for Ricky Paul Golden hosting the red carpet.
Well,
I really don't think that they did a good job.
Well, that's what something that does. They just put stuff together and it's all disorganized and all that jazz. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I'm hoping Chrishell will take this game. Will be her hosting this game show is going to be good. It's going to be called You Rock, Let's Roll. It's going to air Mondays through Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, beginning July 14th
mm-hmm.
on the Fuse TV network.
Okay, so that's good. I'm proud of her for that. That's a good, you know, branch out, girls. I mean, come on. You're real talented. And what's Levin Rampin doing now? Does anybody know?
Yes, I do. Yes, thank you for mentioning that, Joanne. Levin Rampin, shortly after she left her role as Lily on All My Children, she landed a prime role in the Fox sci-fi drama Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, okay, good.
She's going to be playing a character named Riley who comes to school and befriends John, and she's a quick-wit girl with a mysterious secret. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, she's got a multi-arc starting this fall.
Wonderful. That's good. You see,
I'm so happy for 11.
So am I. You know, I mean, I think they really underused Char in All My Children, and, you know, I think that... I think that would do her good. I'm proud. I'm happy to see that she's on her way. You know, she's very young, so.
Well, she's 18. You know. Well, she just turned 18 last month, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her career is going about to take off. I guarantee you, her career is about to take off big time.
Yeah, I think.
Especially with this role. When people see her in this role, I tell you, there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for her. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's her time, and when her time is up over there, there's going to be a lot of other shows in line, sitcoms and dramas, we want 11.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because he's a hot commodity in Hollywood.
Totally agree with you on that, Tony, definitely. But I don't know. So anyway, let's see here. Again, I want to remind everyone tomorrow night with Eileen Kristen. I really would love, love, love to see a big turnout for Eileen. She's a fantastic lady. She loves her fans, and I know that she would love to hear from everybody.
Yeah, she's not only an actress who really well, but she's also a accomplished singer as well.
Oh, she's fabulous. Yes, she certainly is. And I shouldn't say anything because I'm not sure if it got together yet, but she was working on something, possibly for like around the fan club weekend that they have up there in New York for One Life to Live. So we'll see if she has anything to say about that tomorrow. Of course, Megan Ward, the 26th, so let's not forget about her.
Yeah, that'll be Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday night, and if there's any more updates, because I'm waiting for some responses, possibly for Friday and Monday. I'm not really sure because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people on vacation, but I will definitely let you know. But in the meantime, it's time to get out of here.
No problem.
So, Tony, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
My pleasure,
John. And I will chat with you tomorrow and Eileen.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow night with Eileen at the top of the hour, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 Central, 7 on the West Coast, wherever you are on the Block Talk Radio Network. Be here, be square. Eileen Kristen's going to be on. It's going to be a blast.
All right, Tony. Have a great night. Night, everybody.
Have a great night, everybody. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, John.